Good morning. How is everybody? Happy Sunday. Isn't it beautiful out? Yeah, I'm grateful to be here today. Today's going to be a very interesting, different kind of message. For those of you that don't know, I know the vast majority of people know, but the announcement went out a few weeks ago, but I am aware that some have not, that I am stepping down from my staff position here at the River Church, effective next week. My last day is a week from today. So, boo. Thank you. I take that as a compliment. So today's message gets to be a little bit different. I am going to have a teaching and encouragement, but I want to spend some time, since you are my family of the faith. I'm going to share a little more of testimony and some things that kind of came up to this point. So we're going to get a little bit of both, and I'm excited about it. So the Lord is calling me into planting and training with heavy emphasis in evangelism. And so I will continue to be a member of this church. And Mark has graciously extended the invitation for me to continue teaching on Sunday mornings, at least until that shifts. I saw my job posting go up last week, which was hard to watch, you know, for a lot of reasons. You know, you go through the things that are, I'm already, especially as it's getting closer, like the grief and the sadness has really increased. And also, you go through things that I'm like, man, Lord, I'm so grateful for the work you did in that piece. Like, as I'm looking over that job description, and Lord, I'm so sorry for where I just didn't steward that one very well. And just, you know, you get through every emotion when you go through something like that. And so it was a very interesting experience, but I will continue to be a part of this place. This is my church family. Even the work that I do, I plan to really center around what I get to do here. So I'll start with that. And when I say planting work, just because it'll come up, I want to bring a little clarity to what that looks like. So it is going to be local work in the start, and it's going to be, you know, Bayfield, Durango, general surrounding area. I'm not looking to go out and start like another River Church or another like formal entity like that. I want to go out and I want to plant as an extension of especially the churches, Durango and TRC in particular. So the best picture that I could give you of that is that there's a church up in Montrose. It's a four square church. It's called Grace Church. And they, a few years ago, I was up at a regional gathering with a number of leaders there. And they, the pastor from Grace Church, he shared about how he's got somebody on staff who their sole job is to go and in their immediate, you know, Montrose area and then surrounding communities and find the places where hungry people are, where people are just not getting like big exposure to the gospel or to the love and care of the Christian community, and just start planting there as an extension of the church. So he would look around, and one of the examples that came up was he found there was a trailer park, respectively, on the opposite side of town where he went, and he brought some people from the church, he brought his family, and he started pouring into like just some general community improvement thing, and just asking people the question, hey, like, how can I serve and what can we do? And then very informally started like creating a very intentional community atmosphere of like meeting together. And in a pretty short amount of time, there was 100 people meeting once a week for teaching of the word, prayer, and worship in that park. And not that I'm like saying, oh, this is what I'm expecting, you know, that I'd be so presumptuous. And also, it was a really fruitful, beautiful thing. But then this gentleman, I might have the details mixed a little bit here, but I believe that he got really sick. And to the point where like he had to go in for treatment and stuff. He had to drop everything he was doing. And the lead pastor at Grace Church is like, man, I don't have somebody that can replace, like they can stand in for him and do what he's doing and the connections he's established and all that stuff. So he's like, let's see if we can just wrap these people into the church, to our main services and all that. Let's give extra effort to getting them plugged in to community and serving and all that stuff. Well, and they know what they're doing. They're a very fruitful church. Unfortunately, about 2 out of those 100 came. Okay. Another friend of mine, he's doing a similar work actually recently up in Denver. He works for another church, and as an extension of that church, he rents out a coffee shop for a couple hours on Saturday evenings. And when I talked to him a few months ago, he had like 35 or 40 people who were meeting there consistently, and it was growing, and they were hungry for the word, and they were hungry for real discipleship and fellowship. And the church is like, man, there's so many good things happening, great momentum. Like, why don't we just take that? I mean, the coffee shop's 5 minutes from the church. Let's just do it at the church and do like open up a Saturday night service. They're coming out anyways. We could save the money, all that kind of stuff. And the reality is that they weren't looking for that. Now, it doesn't matter, like the conversation today is not about like why or if they should or whatnot. At the end of the day, what matters to me is that as an extension of the church, if we can reach another 100 people that just aren't getting that kind of direct investment, if that will make the difference, like I want to pour into that. So that's what that planting work looks like. I want to see people hearing the gospel, learning to love Jesus, and learning to love each other. So that's what that'll look like. The training piece I'm going to do, especially through the Great Commission Alliance, which is Nate Herbst's organization. You've heard a number of things about that, and I'll share a little bit more as I get further in. But I want to spend a little time on how I got to this point. So is it okay to go into testimony for about 15 minutes? I'll go back. I did condense this because there was a lot more, and I was like, ooh, and picking them out was really hard. So let's go back to December 2020. I remember I was sitting there. I was laying on my futon, actually, in my home office, sick as a dog. Kristen encouraged me into the office to sleep because how sick I was. She's like, I don't want anything to do with that. So, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying one night between like 8 or 9, and the Lord gives me this word, and he said, and I was really, honestly, I was really discouraged about a number of things, like circumstances in my life, just where I was at, how I was handling some things, a lot of different things. And the Lord gave me this word, and he said, in 15 months, you'll have a significant releasing. Okay, I've never got a word with a specific time frame in my life. In fact, that to me is usually like a red flag to me of like false prophecy. Okay, so when I heard a word like that, I'm like, I don't know what to think about that. But it really resonated. Okay, so I shelved it. And I was like, the releasing part really connects. Like, I'm looser on the time frame. So following summer 2021, I actually go to a celebration of life for a very honorable man from this church. And I'm talking to Nate there, and he's telling me about all the fruit that's happening to believers across the world. And I was like, man, I've been wanting to go on a trip with you for a while. Just sign me up for the next one. I don't care where you're going. You know, let me know the time unless there's something major. Like, I'm committed. And so he signs me up for this trip in October. Well, close family gets some health issues, and I was like, I think I need to stay around and support. I don't know what my, you know, family's going to need. So why don't you set, like, let's hold off this fall, sign me up for the next one. So the next one happens to be that trip I went on last year to South Asia and the Middle East. And when I went, the Lord did some awesome, awesome work of healing in my life. And he planted words in me. He gave things that were like spoken to me 10 years prior that he brought back around. I shared all of that last year, so I'm not gonna go into details, too many details on that. And then he gave me a picture of like going out and sharing the gospel, like scattering seed, like not even just picking like a spot and really investing in it too hard, though that is part of my strategy for where I'm going, but literally like scattering it and just seeing where it comes up. Okay. It always intrigued me that in the parable of the sower, it says he scattered the seed. I'm like, why didn't the farmer just go and plant it in the good soil like farmers do these days? Right? I don't see people going and scattering seeds on the road. So anyways, but the picture was like, go and scatter it. And then where you see favor, where you see hungry people, like pour into that. Okay. And gather them. And so that was like sitting more and more on me. Gosh, I got so excited about it. And I was so encouraged by how receptive people were to the gospel around here. Because like it's got, Durango has this, I'm going to say stigma, where it's like nobody wants to hear it. And I'd like to argue that based on experience. Okay. There are some that really don't want to hear it. And that has not been my experience when we are brave enough to open our mouths. about the hope that we have in him. Okay. And there was a point where I was like, gosh, I'd just love to. I looked at actually renting out the Lions Club building for a little meeting space just because of the reception that was coming in and all that. And I was like, oh, got so excited. And I didn't do it. But in that time that I was out in South Asia, all these things were getting parted and planted to me. And, you know, so oddly enough, that trip happened exactly 15 months from when I got that word. Surprise, surprise. So I continue, and it kind of cools down a little bit this last fall coming into winter, and then this spring the Lord started speaking to me again a lot more about it. And for one particular word he shared with me was out of Mark chapter 1. And this is when I was just hanging out with the Lord, my quiet time one morning, and I read this, starting in verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled. And when I sat there and I asked the Lord about it, and I'm like, man, what do I do with this? Like, it's really sitting and resonating with me. I knew that it was definitely true to what the Lord's calling me to share more of the word, like to basically expand the breadth of which I was sharing. It's like, I don't really know what that looks like and my position at the church, et cetera, et cetera. So I did talk to Mark about it. I shared it with him. And probably a couple months later, Mark and I have this conversation, and he says to me, "So Nick, I think that your time as a staff member at the River Church might be coming to a close." I was like, excuse me? It's kind of what's happening in my mind. I didn't say it out loud. Okay. Cause I'm like, I have no desire to quit. I have no desire to, you know, I'm like trying to weigh all these things, but here's the thing. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him and he's like, you know what, to make sure that I'm hearing clearly, like, and that I'm, you know, I think I'm picking up on something. Starting right now, I'm going to fast for the next 7 days and pray about this and then come back at you this week. You don't have to fast with me. This is a personal conviction, but I want to make sure I hear from the Lord. And so I was like, well, be fitting for me to do that too, right? So outside of a couple exceptions that I had already committed to, I joined in that. And then when we came back the following Tuesday, we were in agreement. Not to say that we saw everything exactly the same or that we totally pictured it exactly the same way, but we were totally in agreement and unity. And we thought, so we had a discussion, what does this look like, time frame wise and all that. And we decided on Labor Day weekend. So now at first in my heart, I couldn't like really pick up and reconcile. Like it just didn't look like what I thought it would look like. How many people's lives look exactly what they think they'll look like? I thought at least a couple might raise their hand, but I didn't really know what to think of it for a number of weeks and exactly how it went about. And then I'm listening to this teaching, driving in from Durango, or from Bayfield to Durango. I'm listening to this teaching one morning from Derek Prince about Acts, and it's out of Acts chapter 13. And it's the story of like the church in Antioch. It says that they were praying and fasting. The believers were together and they were praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit gave a word saying, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. And then after they had finished praying and fasting, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. Okay. And the teacher, Derek Prince, he basically broke it down and said, what was happening right there is anytime the Lord wants to do something, a move like that, what he does is he plants that word in multiple believers, particularly, especially through prayer and fasting, just devoted connection to him so that he can bring agreement and protect the unity of the church. And that sat with me. I was like, you know what? Mark got this word. He initiated this conversation at this point. I mean, I could have said, oh yeah, because we always talk about this stuff and he knows I'm fired up about this stuff that it came up. But I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and was a very poignant piece so that we would come into agreement and we could move forward in it. So two things I want to say is that the Lord has wholeheartedly protected the unity of this church and will continue to do so. He believes in this body. He's spoken words over this body that are going to continue. Okay. And secondly, this is something that I think is important to affirm. Your lead pastor hears from the Holy Spirit and takes a risk on it. Okay. Yeah, please. And there's not a better place to be than in that space. Okay. This whole message today is really about differences of steps of faith. Okay. And I'm going to get into a little bit of teaching on it here in a minute. But from that conversation of agreement, we started talking like, how can this look? Like, because I want to do this as an extension of the body, I'm not trying to create another separate thing necessarily. I want it to really encourage the church as a whole. It's like, maybe there's like a part-time thing we could figure out or this or that. We went back and forth and honestly, it was just like not effective. So I'm asking the Lord, I'm like, gosh, I just feel like this is really clunky and messy, and we're not getting anywhere, and time frames are weird, and like, can you just give me a clear word, Lord? Like, should I voluntarily step down, or should I continue and go about from there, or should I continue to try to figure out a solution here? So about like 8 or 10 days later, I'm driving from Bayfield and coming into work that morning, and you guys know that big water pipe that goes across the road on the west end of town? So I go under that, And then it kind of opens up after that. I'm looking like past the field and all that. And I never saw it like this, but it's really impressed on me there that it's actually a hill country. It's not like the rest of the mesa that you're on a few minutes later. It's a hill country. And the Lord says to me, I have set the landscape before you. And he gives me this picture starting right there in this hilly country. Starting right there and moving to Durango and then into the reservation. It kind of forked from there, went to the reservation and to Cortez, you know. I should probably stop with that joke, but I've already been pretty clear about like where the Lord's worked with me. So believe me, there's a sanctification work that's happening here too, okay? But he gives me this picture geographically to like of where to focus the efforts. So I'm like, okay, that's really interesting vision, very interesting picture. So I get to the church and I'm like, okay, I've heard the piece, I've set the landscape before you or something similar. And so I'm going to look that up and let's check it out. So I get to the church and I look it up. So here's what it said. Now keep in mind the context that I'm praying about is like, what do I do? Do I voluntarily step down? Do I try to figure out something with Mark? So Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country. And then it goes geographically, piece by piece, describing all the land that Israel went in to take the promised land. And it says, see, I have given you this land. Go and take possession of it. So that's pretty clear. So I came in with the new info, and that's where I'm at today. I share that because so many things can get moving of what gets talked about, what gets out there. And guys, I'm so thrilled that the Lord is clear. He protects the unity of his people, and he gives us enough to take a step of faith, and often not more than that. Okay, and that's what so much of this is. So what this is going to look like is that I have been, next Sunday is my last Sunday on staff here. After that, I've been accepted onto the Great Commission Alliance team. It was kind of interesting. I had my first ever job interview a few weeks ago. So I got accepted. I haven't actually started on staff. I'll do that after I'm complete with my time here. But I'll be stepping into a lot of work with them. That will be my covering. Now being a staff position there to fill you guys in, those are not paid positions. So I get to raise support to do this ministry of planting and this training ministry that I'll be doing with them. So I'll get to do that. What I'm really excited about in working with them, their mission statement is multiplying Christ-like multipliers. Okay, they go around, they teach very practical evangelism. They teach very practical planting, literally the thing that I will be doing, Okay, so I will get to not only train the message, but have the authority of this is my life doing it. And they have gone over to, I think they've worked in about 50 countries and trained almost 50,000 believers. Okay, and the work is so fruitful because what they, their vision, their mission is really to empower the local believers to go out and plant and build on their own. They're not like a bunch of people that are going out and planting new works. They're training the local people to go out and do it on their own. So it's been super fruitful. And for me in particular, one of the things I'm really excited about, I'm going to do some international ministry and whatnot, but I have a very strong heart for the American church. And so a lot of the focus that I have training-wise is going to be towards the American church and really building that platform out. For me, even if we could break the lies that people don't want to hear it in a handful of churches, or we could empower someone to feel really practically like to share their faith. Well, let me say more specifically to share the gospel, to share the message of Jesus Christ, that way more people are open to hear it than you would think. You know, statistically, this is a general statistic, but one out of every two people is not just open to hear the gospel, but would like to talk about what faith in Christ looks like, okay, according to Barna. If you knew that you could go to work with a bunch of non-believers, and out of every two people that you opened up a conversation with, that you could actually have a meaningful conversation about faith in Christ, how would that change your response and how you look at your life and your work? Would that encourage you to take an extra step? Breaking out some of these lies that nobody wants to hear it, or that somehow we're better off not to say something, like we're more protected. Man, I just want to do something in that realm. I have a heart to see the American church shift in this. So there's an awesome group of people. You know, Great Commission Alliance, they have, besides the practical trainings that they do apologetics trainings. They do a lot of, like, they have social emphasis behind it. They're poured into the widows and the orphans alongside the ministry that they're doing, and the training is really phenomenal. So that'll be my support structure as a whole. And then my home church, where I get fed like every week and just get a family interaction, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. So that's a basis of what it's going to look like. And I want to share a scripture that, because ultimately this is a step of faith, right? I mean, I get to spend, starting in September, I get to change everything about my finances. I get to change everything about my time. I get to literally like completely redesign my life. And it's a really great opportunity, actually, because you get to look at those things that the Lord is putting on your heart to take steps of faith in. And I am looking for a show of hands. Who here has something that they know that the Lord has been telling them to do, encouraging them to do, and they haven't done it yet? Okay. Could be something really small. The reality about growing closer with God is that it gets to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are saved by grace through faith. Everything comes back to faith, okay? And the Lord wants to increase that faith. And there's a verse I want to read today. You know, coming up to it in Hebrews chapter 11, you've got this story of like the hall of faith, like all these Old Testament folks who did these awesome things, like these crazy stories, Noah, Abraham, David's mentioned real shortly in there, all these names, right? And then you get to like, it's an awesome story, awesome narrative. And then you get to chapter 12, verse 1, and it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." And the context of this verse is that there's this great cloud of witnesses, which it's specifically referring to all these that went before us and lived a life of faith. And then it says, let us run with perseverance. Let me give you a translation of that. Joyful endurance. Okay, let us run with joyful endurance the race marked out for us. And what's so cool about that is that it's not like there's some race or some intention for your life, some walk with God that's like way out there and you have to just, you know, figure everything out. It says it is marked out for us. Marked out for us. In other words, you have what you need to take the next step. Even if it's just looking, as this verse said, at the examples of those who went before you. Okay? Paul even said, follow me as I follow Christ. Another translation, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Okay? All of our stories come down to the same thing, whether it's a Goliath out there or it's a sales meeting that you get to bring your faith into. It comes down to the same exact decision of, are you going to trust God or not? Against anything you feel and have. You know, if I was to like open up a conversation of like, what is the thing that keeps all of us who raised our hands from actually taking that step of faith? You know, and most commonly it's going to be fear of man, fear of this, fear of that. Everything's going to come down to fear. But those made perfect in love, faith is an opportunity to be made perfect in love. I was having this conversation with the Lord about it. Like, I read this Devo out of one of my favorites is My Utmost for His Highest. And there was one the other day that talked about how sanctification in our lives is not about God turning us into who we would like to be. Even if we're like, even if it's like all these good, like, yeah, I want to be a faithful man and all that stuff. Guess what? There's overlap. But sanctification is about God turning us into who He wants us to be. And you know what that means? Is that when it comes to taking these steps of faith, we get to release the expectation of what that's supposed to create in our lives. Yeah, I want to step out into faith so that I grow in courage and whatnot. Guess what? He might want you to step out in faith so that you're on your face and you're humbled. I'm sure I'll get some of that. And I'm also certain that my reward is in Him and He will reward. It says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You know what that says is that when you take a step of faith, the only thing that you can really expect out of that step of faith is that He will reward you according to His own design. It might not, you know, it might not look anything like what we want. And then it comes down to what you believe about His character. How much does He really care for me and about this and in my life and whatnot? And how much do I really care about what He wants? Talked about a month ago about the difference, and we love to come to the Lord and say, Lord, what is Your will for me? When the better question is, what is Your will? Period. And just leave it at that and believe that He has you in mind. One of my favorite quotes is from Charles Spurgeon that says, He who created the heavens, all of the stars, and calls them by name is in no danger of forgetting His own children.
Seriously.
Right? Man, what keeps us from a step of faith? You know, it says in that, in Hebrews 11, you know what faith does? Like, by faith, these people saved their families. By faith, these people, their weakness was turned into strength. By faith, they saw promises happen that literally in one of them, even though they were as good as dead, they saw the Lord do this. And when it came down to it, after all of these things, they saved their families. Their hearts were opened. They were provided for. They never ran dry. When it came down to the very end, it says that even with all those great things, that they were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what had been promised. The reality of faith is that the one thing that we get to expect from a step of faith is that we have reward in him. You will grow closer to Jesus with every step of faith. And guess what? Every step of faith, you have every day you wake up, you've got a new step of faith. Just because you had the courage to share your faith yesterday doesn't mean you will today. Just because you chose wrong, like you chose against faith yesterday, doesn't mean that you will today. What do you want your life to look like? How do you want to be led? What do you want your story to be in Christ? I'm gonna share an example of this from my family, from what we're stepping into. So like I got back the day that I shared with the congregation, the real quick announcement that I'm stepping down. I got back home that day and I was having lunch, and that's when I chose to tell my children about the transition, because I'm like, if I tell them before that, the whole church is going to know, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell Emma and Lucy then. And so we get home and we're having our, you know, macaroni and cheese is our go-to Sunday meal. So having our macaroni and cheese. And so I tell him like, you know, hey, I'm going to be stepping down from my position at the church. So they're like, what does stepping down mean? Quitting my job. And, you know, we went into that and like, whoa, really? Why? And all that stuff. So I go into all of that. And so then, of course, Emma asks me this really practical question of like, so how are you going to make money? And I was like, so, you know, trying to explain ministry support, I was like, you know, so here's how support works. It's, it does matter, the person. It does matter. But more than anything, what it is that people have faith that God wants to move and is moving in a certain group of people or a certain place or whatnot. And really, like, as someone who's going, I'm basically just like the advocate for the move of God that's going to happen in a certain place. So when people give in faith, that supports that move of God to happen, including my time. So I say that to Emmett. And he kind of thinks about it and his wheels are turning and stuff. And so then he goes into his room and he comes back with a $20 bill. And he's like, I'll have faith for what God is doing. And so then Lucy, you know, probably to be like her big brother and stuff, but who knows? I shouldn't judge her motives. She goes into her room and she comes back with two crumpled up $1 bills. And she's like, I don't have any 10s or 20s. And, you know, and I really didn't want to give you my $2 bill, but... But I'll have faith for what God is doing too. And she's like apologizing for how crumpled up there. And I was like, Lucy, you don't have to, like, it doesn't matter what kind of bill it is. It doesn't matter if it's a crumpled up bill. Like, you have faith. And I sat there, and actually it was a very big realization to me, because as I watched my kids come in with this, I'm like, you know what we need to do with this is Kristen and I, like, I'm looking across the table. I'm like, Kristen and I, we need to add a bill to this. And let's just put it in a frame. Okay, and let's put it up on our wall for the faith that we have that God wants to make a difference in Durango that we have not seen yet. Okay, and this is in conjunction with, in agreement with the local church, not in competition of it. I want to invite people here in faith to come and be a part of the things that happen in evangelism. I've cleared this with Mark, okay? Come be a part of the evangelism that's happening. The discipleship. I'm not going to be able to disciple people by myself and focus on all the other pieces. Who has a heart that the Lord is calling them to be like, you know what, I want to do something different. I just want to put out and step out there just a little bit. Even if it's with some of those little projects, you're like, you know what, I don't feel comfortable discipling. I don't feel comfortable preaching. But yeah, I can meet somebody where they're at and I can cook some brats and make a family dynamic. And bring my kids and show people that we care. I want to invite you into that. Do you have faith for the move of God that is going to happen as an extension of this body? And if so, here's what I'd like you to do right now, just so you don't forget. There's a bunch of blue Connect cards. And I hope like 50 of them or more go through that little box today. Write your name and just put like interested in helping. Okay? And just grab that so you can set it on the way back. You can also, my email is nick@trcdurango.com. please reach out to me, okay? I've already started having these conversations with people, and of course I get to figure out all the other practical pieces later, but do you have faith for what God is doing in this body and outside of here? For some of you, this conversation about taking a step of faith today are the things that you've been thinking about contributing to this church for a while and just haven't quite gotten there. And here's what I want to say about that. Ephesians 4 talks about how we are all given these different gifts. And in order for us to come into the fullness of maturity as Christ believers, everyone gets to be involved because he placed different things. In other words, it's not just your maturity that's at stake as far as taking a step of faith. It's all of us growing. My encouragement to you is, what is your decision today for a step of faith where you're like, you know what? I'm going to stop saying no. I'm going to say yes today. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow and have the same thing in front of me. What am I going to say today? And guess what? This is the life that so many modeled before us. When you think about a story of David, you think about a story of Abraham, Noah, all these people that saw these awesome things happen, it literally came to the same exact question I just asked you right now. Are you going to say yes or no? So I'll invite Mark to come up, and or a worship team, I should say. Sorry. I have to clarify with Mark. Thank you for being so ready and willing, Mark. I just want to say that... there are, oh yes, thank you. I guess he was just singing today, huh? For my lack of observation. the step of faith piece here, if we as a body are going to hope for the things of God, man, I was loving that last song in my quiet time this week. You know, I was reading about how we are jars of clay, like these fragile vessels that behold the glory of God that's found in the face of Jesus in us. The presence of God sitting in a fragile jar that the potter worked as he wished. Super good. I invite everybody to just close their eyes. And Father, you like highlight the step of faith. Gosh, if it's for anybody in here to just like to choose to spend time with you where they're not, let that be first. I know you just love that time with them. You cherish that time with them. Teach them your word so that they can freely teach. Nobody who spends time with you consistently is in an absence of being able to teach. Lord, I've seen that in my own life and in everyone around me who's been faithful with their times with you. I want you to highlight the step of faith to everyone in this room as they have their eyes closed. What is it, Lord, that you've been putting on their heart? Not Nick's design, but your design. What is that step of faith? And now, Jesus, show them what is keeping them from taking it. And show them how you are not condemning them for it. You are gentle and humble at heart. You will lift them up and build them up. And you are happy to help them. Now I want you guys to ask the Lord for the courage and the faith to make that choice today. And a step further, what's the first step in that to do? Is it to have a conversation? Is it to set some time aside for something? Is it to go out into the parking lot and say, yes, I will? Ask him what that first step is, whatever that looks like. Impart that to them, Lord. Give them the specifics that you gave me. Just enough for them to move. And not all the details. Doesn't have to be. We don't need it, Lord. Thank you for these awesome, wonderful people who all fight the same battles I do, Lord. That every, that so many in this congregation have been solid encouragements to me as I've walked this, and others have gotten to be to them. Thank you for our family, Lord, and that you preserve this family of faith. You hold on to it in unity. You hold on to it in peace and in building and growing it up. And let it continue that way, Jesus. Let all of these have total joy and contentment from your face alone, including myself. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to, as we close up the service today, I want to invite the prayer team to come up. And guys, for that step of faith, maybe the first thing is to have somebody else pray with you and ask with you. Or to confess and let go of something. I want to not just encourage you, I want to challenge you to take that step of faith today, to go and get prayer from someone else, to be like, you know what? I know this doesn't totally rely on me. I'll get some help. Some of you cringed when I said that. Let it be. Let us do it together. And I want to bless you out. Let you be like trees planted by a stream of water, who bears its fruit in the season that it's meant to, does not wither, always prospers. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.